Okay, take your Bibles. Turn to Exodus 34. As Christians, we who are born again live in the age or the administration of grace. We are part of the church of grace. We are saved by grace. We are blessed because of grace. We're forgiven by grace. All we have and all we are is by God's grace. You know, the things we get to do is only by God's grace and mercy and the privileges that we have because he is a wonderful and gracious God. But he was always that way. And if we look at Exodus chapter 34, verse 6, this is God speaking to Moses. We read verse 5. It says, "And the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him, Moses, there and proclaimed the name of the Lord." He proclaimed his own name. You know, God named himself, right? He told us who he was. "And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth.'" That's what God declared concerning himself. It's pretty cool, huh? What a great God. So from the beginning, God has always been gracious towards mankind. Obviously, when Adam and Eve sinned, he could have just wiped it out. But he's always been gracious towards his creation and his creatures. He is always truthful. He's always just. He's always merciful. He's always loving beyond our understanding. He's beyond our comprehension. God is loving. And grace is the manifestation of God's love. His love to us, his favor towards us, only because God decided to be that way. Nobody said, "Hey, God, you have to be gracious towards us and merciful and, you know," and he's truthful. He never lies. He never is dishonest with us in any way. You know, if you read the Greek mythology, I guess, everybody reads that in eighth grade or something, and the Greek gods were deceitful a lot of times. They would trick people and hurt people and do all kinds of crazy stuff, as do other pagan gods. I mean, that's in the story. They're not really like that, but that's the stories they make up. Let's go back to Genesis 6. Genesis 6 is the beginning of the record of Noah, and it's the first place where the word grace is used in the Bible. And it says in verse 5, "And God saw the wickedness, that the wickedness of man was great in the earth." So, you know, if God says that the wickedness was great, what does that mean? It was pretty bad, right?
Yeah.
"And that every imagination of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually." And that's the first usage of heart in the Word of God. And so, you know, their imagination, their thought, their desires, their the word. I have a note in my margin. I don't know if it's correct, but it says the whole imagination, the Hebrew word, signifies not only the imagination, but also the purposes and desires. So, you know, man's desires, his purposes, his imaginations, his thoughts, his reasoning were all evil. All the time. Verse 6, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." And that's the second usage of heart. You know, it grieved God. It made him sad in his heart. "And the Lord said, 'I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them.'" But, verse 8, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect, which means upright, in his generations, and Noah walked with God. That's pretty cool, considering he was surrounded by what? Evil. And it doesn't say his wife was any great shakes or his kids either. It just says Noah. But I thought it was interesting because if you go in a concordance and look, it says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that's used, I don't know, 10 or 11 times in the Old Testament, where it says that people found grace in the eyes or the sight of God. It's never used in the New Testament. It's a phrase or an idiom that's used only in the Old Testament concerning Old Testament believers. They were, you know, and we use that term sometimes, you know, it was found of something, you know, meaning, you know, we got, they were found, in other words, God decided to give them grace for whatever reason because they seemed to be, you know, just or upright or whatever, doing the best that they could. So he found grace. It only occurs in the Old Testament, never in the New Testament, and it seems to imply that there was some standard for receiving this grace. In verse 9, it says that Noah was just, which means righteous. He was perfect or upright, and he walked with God, which means what? He was in harmony with God. He listened to God. He communed with God. So that's pretty cool. Let's go to Exodus again, 33. Just to look at a couple of these. Of course, we looked at grace last week, so this is a follow-up to that. And Exodus 33, verse 12, it says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, See, you sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found, and thou hast also found grace in my sight." Meaning, Moses, God told Moses, I've found grace in your sight. Or, you know, Moses was found to give grace because of God looked at him and said, hey, you're doing a good job or something. But the context of this was, you know, it's after Moses went up on the mountain and the people made a golden calf and Moses came down and broke the tablets and God said, I'm done with these people. And Moses prays for him and God says, okay. He says, but I'll send an angel before thee to go into the promised land. And Moses says, wait a minute. You're going to send somebody else besides me, besides yourself? He says, now therefore, verse 13, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and the people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. You know, Moses got, he wanted to bring the people along and be in the grace of God. God reiterates, well, you found grace in my sight, so I'm going to do it because you asked me. You know, but again, it was the grace, you know, it says in my sight a couple of times. Because Moses was doing what God asked him to do. He was obedient to God and he listened and he believed. Let's go to 1 Samuel. So throughout the Old Testament, there was grace. But it's not the grace or the same as what we have in the New Testament. 1 Samuel chapter 1 is about Hannah and the birth of the prophet Samuel. So it says in verse 10, "And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore," speaking of Hannah. "And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." Okay. The term handmaid means she is totally devoted to God, like a slave. She's, you know, committed totally to obeying God. And she says, if you give me a man-child, I will give him back to you all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. That's the Nazarene vow. And same thing that John the Baptist was born into, or a Nazarite vow, rather. And a Nazarite vow could be for a short period of time, or it could be for life. And part of it was you couldn't eat certain foods, you couldn't drink any alcohol, and you couldn't shave or cut your hair. Samson was another guy that had a Nazarite vow. So here she makes the commitment to God. She says, if you give me a man-child, I'll, you know, bear him, I'll raise him, wean him, and give him back to you. That's pretty crazy. "And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth." Should have saved this for the prayer teachings. But anyway. "Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord." And that's a great lesson in prayer, isn't it? Pouring out your soul before God. It means you just put it out there. You just, you know, it's not a something you memorized and say over and over and over, but it's you pour your heart out to God. "Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad." She found grace in Eli's sight, but in God's sight also, because he represented God, right? And he said, you know, okay, your petition is granted. He was speaking for God. What a great thing. And she had poured her heart out. You know, she was honest before God. She went to God with a legitimate request. You know, great request, a legitimate request, and he granted it. And she found grace. You know, she had grace. She found favor, God's favor. She didn't deserve that favor necessarily or measure up to what God did for her, but he did it because he loved her, because she was so wonderful. So now in the New Testament, it doesn't say anything about us finding grace in the eyes of God or in the sight of God. It says that God gave us grace, right? We are a product of his grace. We are given grace. It's nothing to do with anything else. And it's not specific to any one person in any one situation. It's a blanket. It covers us all. It's to every one of us, and we live in the age of grace. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So there was grace in the Old Testament, for sure. And when people received grace, they were really thankful. But there was no guarantee of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and all knowledge. See, for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came and with it came grace. You know, that he even came was grace, right? Because yeah. God, you know, from the very beginning, God's grace was obvious and implied, because when Adam and Eve fell, and in the Garden of Eden, when God came and talked to them in chapter 3, the first thing he did was he said, I'm going to send a Savior. Did they deserve a Savior? No, they didn't deserve it. It was something that God decided to do because he wanted to. He loved them. He loved mankind. So there was always grace, but not wholly and freely to all. Today, we do one thing, believe, and we receive grace. Pretty cool. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. In verse 1, it says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. For length of days and long life. You know, sometimes that confuses people because people die before we think they should. You know, everybody dies before they think they should, I think. Unless I saw the other day in the news, a lady died. She was 106. That's a long time, isn't it? But anyway, you know, we don't know what our DNA is, do we? There's something in our body that's, you know, we're programmed to live a certain length. And whatever the mixture and things are. But I do know this, if you walk with God, you'll live to the fullest extent of your life. You know, you look to God, you believe, and you live to the fullest extent. And he blesses you, and the length of days means your days are full and rich. And we don't understand everything about life and death either. But, you know, no matter what it says, God says that he will compensate us, that he will bless us, and that no matter what we go through in this life, right. It's nothing compared to what we're going to get in the future, and we have eternal life. So, ha-ha. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee, verse 3. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. And the word favor is the word grace in the Old Testament. It's the same word that was translated grace when it said, you know, they found grace in the sight of God. It's that same word. Thou shalt find grace and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Again, in the sight of God and man. But it has what? It has requirements. It says, you know, forget not the law, keep the commandments in your heart for length of days and long life, and so on. Let not truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of the heart. Do all these things, so shalt thou find favor or grace and good understanding in the sight of God and man. See, so that's pretty interesting. Again, it's in the sight of God. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And we're going to begin in verse 15. And this is an explanation of what God has done and through his Son, Jesus Christ. It says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, referring to Adam, right? The offensive one, Adam. Many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So, you know, because of what Adam did, all men are born with the sentence of death in them. But because of the grace of God, which came by Jesus Christ, now the free gift and grace has abounded to many. See, it came with Jesus Christ, that abundance of grace. There was always grace, but it was limited. And sometimes it was specific, and there were things attached to it. But now that grace is given to everyone. It's to everyone that believes. And it's by Jesus Christ. And not as it was by one, Adam, that sin, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, or the sentence of death. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification, or righteousness. For if by one man's offense death reigned, and what does reign mean? Have dominion, right? To rule. Death ruled. For if by one man's offense, Adam's offense, death ruled, by one much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. How cool is that? You know, all that the devil tried to do and all of the consequences of the sin of man are wiped away in one done. You know, Jesus Christ wiped it all away and brought grace. We get God's divine favor and love free. All we do is believe in Jesus Christ, and we get that grace, and it abounds. It abounds. The grace in our lives abounds. You know, if we only just realized, you know, sometimes you get into the, oh, why am I such a horrible person? Or why doesn't God do this for me? Or why can't I pray better? Or why can't I do this? It's grace. God wants to help you. God wants to bless you. He wants you to reign in life. And he gives you that grace. For as by one man's, let's see, verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one, Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation or death, even so by the righteousness of one, Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. How great is that? We were made righteous. We didn't earn it. We didn't do anything. We were just made righteous. Just like that. Just, you know, there's a thing where you've probably heard of it, and they always have arguments in politics, but the president can absolve anybody of guilt. He can say, what do they call it?
Pardon.
A pardon, yeah. He can write a pardon for anybody. And they're done.
Yeah.
They get out. It's a get out of jail free card, right? Well, God sent the greatest get out of jail free card ever in Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. You know, and all we do is believe, and it's available to everybody, not just one person, but to everybody. How much grace is that? Because you look around, and you say, why would God want to save that person or this person? You know, you get that in your brain sometimes, but that's not up to us, is it? And it's God's will for everybody to be saved. You know, so sometimes you see somebody and you say, oh, that guy's disgusting. Well, maybe he needs to be witnessed to. Maybe he needs to hear the word. Maybe he needs to realize what Jesus Christ did for him. He deserves it just as much as anybody else. Because in God's eyes, we were all the same before we got born again, and we're all the same after we get born again.
Yeah, we were all dead in sin.
We were all dead in sin. We were all disgusting. And God made us beautiful. Verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You know, somebody said the way to get rid of crime is make everything legal. That's what they seem to be doing right recently. You know, but when you have laws, you know, then there's the breaking of laws, right? And when God made laws, there was sin. Sin abounded. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, because God sent Jesus Christ to pay the full and complete price for all our sins, past, present, and future, to wipe them away, to make us clean, to make us pure in his sight. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, it was grace that we were born again, but that grace never stops. We all have and are by God's grace to us by the way of Jesus Christ. All we are and all we have is by his grace. We didn't earn or deserve one little bit of what God did for us. We are exhorted to give thanks in everything, and we are to be strong in grace. When we realize the greatness of grace, it becomes easier to be thankful. You know, wow, look what God did for me. God's grace abounds in our lives, whether we realize it or not, and whether we appreciate it or not. No matter what we do or say or how we act, we will not get any more than what we were given. And God's favor and his grace are always abounding. Yeah. He gave us as much Holy Spirit as we're going to get. He gave us as much righteousness as we're going to get, as much mercy as we're going to get. And the grace abounds in our lives. It's pretty cool. How much grace did it take for us to get saved? Well, as much as it took. You know, whatever it was, God gave that grace to everybody, more than we could ever measure or quantify. You know, we can't measure God's grace. We can't, you know, figure it out, the volume or the weight or the speed or the whatever. We could never do enough, pray enough, pay enough, confess enough, save ourselves. We needed God to send his son to do the work for us. You know, we could never do enough. No matter what, if we lived 100,000 years, we couldn't do enough to get saved. We couldn't be good enough. We couldn't be pure enough. We couldn't be kind enough. We couldn't be giving enough. So Jesus Christ did it for us. How cool is that? How simple is that? You know, how simple. Let's go to John chapter 1, Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter 1. I'll get there. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 15. It says, John bare witness of him, of Jesus Christ, John the Baptist, that is, and cried, saying, this is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. And the word for there means upon. Grace upon grace. And the Amplified Version of the Bible says heaped upon or piled up. Grace piled up upon grace. That's how much grace. Just a figure of speech to emphasize how much grace it is. And we begin to get a glimpse of God's grace, even a slight understanding of the magnificence of how much God loves us and how much grace he has bestowed upon us, then we maybe can begin to stop worrying. so much working hard and just begin accepting what God has made available to us. Yeah, instead of working hard and worrying hard and doing all the crazy stuff, we just realize it's God's grace. And, okay, I'm just going to enjoy this. I'm going to live it. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Remember, God's grace is what we get from God because of his love and favor, and it's unmerited. We didn't earn it. We didn't do anything to get it. He just did it because he wanted to. In verse 32, it says, of chapter 8, it says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" All things that, what? He's promised. They're there. They're available. It's by his grace. It's not, you know, how hard we pray. It's that we just believe. But it's free. It's free to us because of his grace. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. It says, everybody get there. Chapter 4, verse 16. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." You know, it's the throne of grace. And we find mercy and grace there when we go to him, boldly. You know, not hesitantly, not fearfully, not half-heartedly, but boldly. "Hey, God, this is what you promised. It's supposed to be free, so here I am." Let's go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 64. It says in verse 64, "The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes." And the word mercy is the word that could be translated loving kindness. The earth is full of God's love and kindness. And it's from the root word that is also translated grace or favor. Same root word. See, the whole earth is full of it. Full of his grace. Full of his loving and kindness. To who? To us. To us who are born again, that are his children. Those that love his son, Jesus Christ. And let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. And we will stop there today. Of course, every church epistle starts with grace. Somewhere in the beginning of the introduction, it says grace and peace. And then it ends in grace. It says grace to you or whatever, some way or another. So in chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "Having predestinated or foreordained us unto the adoption or sonship of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." We were made accepted in the beloved by his grace, and it was according to his good pleasure. Again, nobody made him do it, right? It wasn't like he gritted his teeth and did it against his will. It was according to his good pleasure. It was his will. It was his desire. In whom, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness or the remission of sins according to the riches of his grace, the abundance of his grace. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. You know, that's what God did. He purposed it. He desired it. He wanted to do it. I skipped verse 8, didn't I? Wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. Prudence means good sense. You know, he just did it because he wanted to. He abounded his grace towards us. He gave us abundance of grace, riches of grace. He made us accepted in the beloved. He gave it all to us because he loves us. See, and there's no reason why we should worry or fret or, you know, we have to work so hard at prayer. Just realize God's grace. Realize how much he loves you. Realize that he wants to help. You know, all this grace is available to us. Let's soak it up and use it. So, Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your great grace in our lives. We thank you that everything we have, everything we are, is because of your grace. And that we are so blessed and so privileged to be the people we are. And that we are your children. And that it's just by grace that we are that. And we thank you, God, for the righteousness and the sanctification and the redemption and all those things that you've done for us, and that we can walk and be strong in that grace and be gracious towards others and live that grace and that love in our lives every day. And we thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.